Elizabeth Elliot studied Greek in college with the goal of working as a Bible translator. Shortly after arriving in Ecuador, she married fellow missionary Jim Elliot, who was later killed while trying to reach out to the fierce Alca Indians, also known as the Wadani. Soon after the tragic incident, Elizabeth took her 3-year-old daughter Valerie, and they lived among the same Indian tribe that had killed her husband. Here on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth shares with us the insights from her remarkable journey as a daughter, mother, wife, widow, and missionary. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua is for you and me today, for all who are willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about work and possessions. Work is one of the greatest blessings of our lives, isn't it? So often I've had young people come to me and say, I'd love to be a missionary hero. Well, I shouldn't say so often. Very few young people today use the word hero anymore, but I did actually have a young man come to me once and say, I want to be a Jim Elliot. Well, my heart went out to that young man. I thought, thank God for a young man who sets his sights on being an obedient servant of God, because surely he knew that that's what Jim Elliot was. But how did Jim Elliot get to be the man that he was? It was not by doing great things, but by doing small things. The same thing was true of Stephen. You remember that Stephen was appointed to serve tables, and his willingness to do a humble job like that led to his becoming a great preacher and the first martyr. Those who have actually done great things for God have done them by beginning with small things. What is your expectation from your work? Do you do it in order to please God? Do you do it so that someday you may hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant? Or do you do it primarily for earthly approval? Now let's think about possessions. Is your attitude toward your possessions, what's mine's mine and what's yours is negotiable? Or do you look upon your possessions as gifts from God? Do you think of them as your right? The Bible says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Do you think of possessions as material to offer to God for the use of others? Can you take the spoiling of your goods joyfully? When I was a missionary, I once lent my house to a family, and when I came back, I found that a good many things had been spoiled, a good many irreplaceable things. The children, for example, had built a fire on the coffee table. Well, that was rather hard to take, because that coffee table was one that my husband Jim Elliot had made, and by that time Jim Elliot had long been with the Lord. It was a prized possession. But my Bible tells me that I am to take the spoiling of my goods joyfully. How much do you expect to have? Are you one of the gotta-haves? Do you gotta have a whole lot of things beyond food and clothes and shelter? What do we need? I found out how few things we need when I lived with the Alca Indians. They had no walls and no floors and no furniture, and so I had a house with no walls and no floors and no furniture. They had clay pots, I had an aluminum one. They had hammocks, I had a hammock. They had a piece of string for clothes, I had 2 skirts and 2 blouses, which they thought was outrageously too many things to have. How much do we really need? Have you heard the expression dinks, D-I-N-K, double income, no kids? Well, I imagine that the expectations of the dinks would be higher than the expectations of those who live in a trailer and have 8 kids. And yes, my daughter does know a family that lives in a trailer and has 8 children. My God, the Bible says, shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He could give you a mansion and a Cadillac. Maybe he wants to. Maybe he doesn't. I had a letter the other day from a mother who was able to stay home and take care of her children, and I can't resist reading this letter to you. Talk about work and possessions. She wrote to thank me for encouraging her to stay at home. She's so glad that she's able to, but she has been criticized, she tells me, by some of the church people. Another writes that her own mother looks on her with disdain for putting my children ahead of mere things. My sister, she says, also a Christian, enjoys the good life of boats, big houses, beautiful clothes, and cross-country vacations. It's a lonely place to be in today's world. And another writes, a big thanks for teaching about the awesome job of mothering. When our first baby came, I was making more money than my husband. It made absolutely no sense for me to give up my job. But my husband and I both felt it was the right thing to do, and the doctor for whom I worked, a Christian, praised our decision. We've been tested, she says with an exclamation point. Now it's cloth diapers for our 2 babies, garage sales for clothes for the family, living from paycheck to paycheck. At times, it was not fun. Part of the time without a vehicle at all. My husband biked to work. I learned to sew, buying patterns at discount stores, even learned to cut clothes down for the children. People better off than we are stand in line for government handouts, but we didn't believe in accepting that kind of help. Even in the midst of the worst times, we always tithed. We're on time with our bills and mobile home payments, had more than enough to eat and warm clothes to wear. And in Minnesota, warm clothes are essential. I don't want to sound haughty or proud, just boasting of the Lord and His grace. I feel so blessed to have a husband who loves the Lord and is faithful to obey Him. Do you have all the possessions your heart dreams of having? Probably not. Could you use a little bit more money? Probably so. My husband Ad used to say, how much money is enough? Always a little bit more than you have is what you think is enough. I think I mentioned not very long ago a letter that I had from a young mother who was headed for Eastern Europe as a missionary. They had sold their house. Her husband had been laid off. They went to another state. They managed to get a small 2-bedroom apartment. She said about half the space that we had before, with half our stuff in storage. But, and this is the part that bears repeating, I have peace and contentment that God is in control and we are where He wants us. Wish I had time to share with you all the ways in which He has worked for our good. On Halloween, Massachusetts suffered a tremendous storm on the ocean. There was a hurricane far out at sea, and the power of the waves was awesome. I can think of no more descriptive word. I sat in the window of our house and watched the waves build all morning long. As the tide rose, the height of the waves rose till they reached almost 30 feet. Parts of our coastline were destroyed. Seawalls that had held for 100 years were broken. And there was one house that was completely destroyed. And I thought what it must be like for that lady. I understand that all she'd got out of the house was her checkbook. I went down and looked at the house the next day. There were bits and pieces of the furniture. The house was turned more or less upside down, sort of sideways. The bathroom fixtures were still nailed to the floor, but the floor was crooked. Some of the lady's clothes were still hanging on hangers, but they were hanging from broken beams. Possessions. How would you feel if that happened to you? Maybe I'm talking to someone who has suffered the loss of an entire house through fire or through flood or through storms. Can we offer all our possessions to God? Do we recognize that everything that we possess, God could withdraw in a second? It belongs to Him. Can we take joyfully the spoiling of our goods? Or do we have a temper tantrum if somebody drops something on our new carpet? What is offering? What does that mean? It means thanking God, recognizing that it comes from God, offering it back to Him, asking Him to bless our possessions, not only to our good, but to the good of other people. It means the willingness to share our homes, our money, our time, our work, our possessions. Many of us need to pray that the Lord will give us help and joy in the doing of it and in the use of our possessions. Do you pray for your husband's work? Do you husbands pray for your wife's work? Do you thank God for the privilege of being cooperators together with Him and with each other? Do you recognize that all that we have comes from Him? Fulfillment, to me, is not a goal to be achieved, but a byproduct of sacrifice. Happiness is a byproduct of obedience.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.